for three weeks now about Advent, the idea that we're preparing for Jesus' birth. See, the first coming of Jesus Christ, he was born in that manger that we've looked at. He was born in Bethlehem. There is coming a second time, though. The second coming of Jesus Christ when he returns to earth to rule and reign. And we look forward to that. And the Bible gives us these promises, these fulfillments of scriptures. That's how we know that Jesus is who he says he is. These scriptures that prophesy his birth, that prophesied his servanthood, that prophesied his death, were written hundreds or thousands of years before he came to earth. And he fulfilled every single one of those prophecies about his birth. We haven't covered it this year, but you all know my favorite statistic. The idea that Jesus Christ could fulfill 8 of those prophecies, forget all of them, but just 8, is the statistical probability that I can take Gary down to Texas, blindfold Gary in Dallas, fill the entire state of Texas with 2 feet of silver dollars, mark 1 with a red X, bury it somewhere, and give Gary one opportunity, blindfolded, to walk all over Texas, reach down, and pick up that silver dollar. We would say that's impossible, right? But yet Jesus fulfilled every single one of those prophecies, which gives us the confidence that he will fulfill the promises that he's given to us for now and for the future. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the joy that Jesus promised, the joy that the angels promised with his birth. As Dan read from Luke 2:10, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." This great joy that the angels announced is not something that happened one time 2,000 years ago. This great joy that we have and that we have the ability to have is something that we can still celebrate. And we need to understand that it is a contemporaneous thing. It is a joy that we can feel each and every moment, no matter what the circumstances are. All right? See, we have this idea that being joyful means we're happy. That is not what joy means. Happiness is something completely different. Happiness is dependent on circumstances. Happiness is dependent on how things are going, how much money's in the bank, what the stock market looks like, how the weather is even, something like that. But joy is deeper. Joy is something to the core. And it tells us how we can live. Do you think that those shepherds, when they saw the angels, do you think their life was ever the same again? I don't think so. Their life was totally different. When we experience Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, our God and Savior, our lives should not be the same. They should be filled with joy. That does not mean we're going to go around all the time with smiles on our faces. What it does mean is that we are going to go around with joy in our hearts. And it is just something, this is the reason we sang, "Here I Am to Worship." We can worship out of joy. We can worship when we are in the midst of the most trying problem that we have. So if you have problems today, you've got circumstances that are bothering you, you've got health issues, you've got financial issues, that does not get in the way of you having joy. So I want to tell you today, we're going to talk about 4 things that will bring us this true joy. Because that's what's important this time of year, and particularly this week. This deep, deep abiding joy that's different than happiness, that will not go away no matter what the world throws at us, no matter what Satan throws at us, no matter what our circumstances are, we can have this joy. 4 reasons that we can have this joy. And there are also 4 things that bring us joy. Number 1, we can have this joy because we can know God. We can know God. Guys, can you? We can know God each and every time. What if I were to tell you that Christians are the only people in the world who can have true joy? You know, everybody can be happy, but we are the only ones that can have true joy because we are the only ones who can know God. And that's not being a bigoted claim. That's not being closed-minded. That's being honest to the Scriptures. There's a verse that we throw around here a lot that I hope you really understand. John 14:6, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." And here was the part, next part. "No one comes to the Father but through me." So we have joy because we can know the Father. How many of y'all ever went to a job interview and you didn't get the job and somebody got it that knew somebody? You know, we would get mad there because, oh, it was not what I know, it was who he knew, right? Well, let me just tell you, when we are looking at the issue of salvation and spending eternity in heaven, it is entirely about who you know. And that is a good thing, all right? Jesus was talking to his disciples after that, and he said, "Look, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and you've seen him." And Philip, you know, Philip asked that question we're all thinking. "Well, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, and this is kind of the way that Jesus is saying this, he's kind of like, "Really, Philip?" But this is what he says. He said, "Philip, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father." So we have that ability to be in a relationship with God only because of Jesus Christ. And I told you that it is about who you know. This relationship is so important. Turn over, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. And I'm going to prove to you that it is who you know. Jesus is talking about the judgment in the last days, and he says that many, and I stress this word many, he says many, beginning in verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Haven't we done all this great stuff for you? Didn't we give all this money? Didn't we put together all these shoeboxes? Didn't we do all of this stuff?' And then I will declare to them," and here's the key, "'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So it is entirely about who you know. You cannot merit salvation. You cannot work your own way to salvation. You cannot earn it. The only way that you can be saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ and putting your faith in Him. That is what this Christmas season, this Advent season is about. It's preparing us for His birth and preparing us to make that response to the invitation that He gives. So this idea that we can know the Creator God of the universe should bring us joy, right? I mean, you just think about that. Think about Job. You know, we're studying Job on Sunday nights. All the things that Job went through, Job still had a joy in the Lord. Despite losing his entire family, despite losing his wealth. Certainly we would never call Job a happy man, right? But he was a joyful man. In spite of everything, we can be like that each and every day. We can have the joy of the Lord each and every day because we know the Lord. The second thing is, in order to have that joy and have it at its fullest, we have to abide in Christ. Abiding in Christ means living inside of Him, living in a relationship with Him. Technically, it means letting Jesus make His home in us and we make our home in Him. That's what abide means. In John 15:5, he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." So it does a lot of good stuff, right? But here's the second part of that. "For without me you can do nothing." Not a little, not a few good things. You can do nothing. So what is it that would bring us joy? To know that we can make a difference in life, that we can make a difference in somebody's world. We may not have millions and millions of dollars to go out and give away. We have something much more valuable. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can, that makes an eternal change in your destiny. It makes an eternal change in somebody else's destiny. And you know what? It doesn't take much. I don't know what God will do through the fruit baskets and the food boxes. I don't know what He does through VBS. I don't know what He does through camps all the time. But I know that His Word says it will never return void. He will use that. We've seen that in our own youth. We've seen our own youth come back from camps and say, hey, I want to get involved in this. I want to be a servant. I'd like to, can I teach a Sunday school class one day? Yes. You know, it's like, yeah, we'll work on that. That's awesome. But that's what God does. But not only that, think about this verse from Philippians 4:13. You guys know this. Not only can we do some things, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what's your problem today? Do you think that that problem can be conquered? Yes, it can. How? Through Jesus Christ. He will conquer each and every problem that you have. He's bigger than each and every problem that you have. You know, Adrian Rogers had this saying. He said, quit telling God how big your storm is. Start telling your storm how big your God is. And we just need to remember that. God is in charge of everything. And that should bring us joy. And Jesus recognized this. Over in John 15:11, He says, look, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full or complete. Think about that. My joy, the joy of Jesus Christ is in us. Isn't that awesome? We have the mind of Christ, right, when we're the new creation, when we accept Jesus Christ, but we can have the joy of Jesus Christ. You know why He's hanging on that cross? Was He grumpy when He's hanging on that cross? What was He thinking? He said He counted it joy for the salvation that He was going to bring. That ultimate horrible punishment that He sustained and did not deserve, He counted that all joy. And we can have that same thing. So we can know the Father, we can abide in Christ, and the third source of joy and reason for joy is that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how we have God inside of us. You think about what God does through the Holy Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit. We live by the fruit of the Spirit. We can produce the fruit of the Spirit. All these things that the Holy Spirit will do in our lives if we will submit, if we will let Him rule our lives. Now, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. We have a choice, though, each and every day. Are we going to be ruled by the Spirit, or are we going to be ruled by something else? We can sit there and resist, just like we can resist our parents. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can still resist your parents, right? And, you know, we've been talking about that a lot in teen school, too. It's like, yeah. And unfortunately, I have a lot of examples of how I got in a lot of trouble by resisting my parents, even when it was good advice. But as a Spirit-filled believer, when we are guided by the Spirit, we can trade fear for hope. We don't have to have fear. Fear steals joy, right? If you're looking just fearful about something, you won't have any joy. How many have a doctor's or dentist appointment this week? Anybody? Okay. And are you dreading it? And doesn't time move like ever so slow? We dread that. And it steals our joy. It shouldn't, because our joy should be in the Lord. It might steal our temporary happiness, okay? I give you that. But it should not steal our joy. We have the ability to love when we're governed by the Spirit. We have the ability to have self-control. We have the ability to sing to each other and talk to each other in songs and hymns. We have the ability to love each other, to give preference to one another, to defer to one another. And, you know, those are things that we don't have in our natural bodies. That they're not natural things. Our natural response is, well, I'm number one, and I want what I want, right? Well, that's not the way it is when you're governed by the Holy Spirit. And that will be a source of joy. Joy is yielding ourselves, our wills to God, and letting Him rule. And then here's the biggest one. Number four, the source of joy and the promise of joy is that we can be eternally secure. Actually, I said that wrong. Not that we can be, that we are eternally secure. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that same Holy Spirit that comes to live on the inside of you seals your life. It puts, y'all remember the Good Housekeeping seal of approval? Anybody old enough to remember that? Okay, a few. And, you know, that meant the product was good. It meant it was worthwhile. The Holy Spirit is even a better seal. It is a guarantee or a down payment that you belong to God, and that if you belong to God, Jesus said, I'm going to come back for you. You're going to spend eternity with me. We just need to understand what that promises us. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is telling us, because He's given us the Holy Spirit, that we will be with Him in heaven. You know, remember, Jesus, He's going away and His disciples are upset. Remember, you've walked with Jesus for 3 years. And Jesus sits you down one day and He says, you know what? It is good for you that I'm going away. I would be like, no, no, no. Probably like Peter, you know, no, no, no. I don't want that to happen. And Jesus is like, no, it's good for you that I go away, because when I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Jesus understood that it was going to be so good for us, a source of so much joy, that His love and His joy would be in us through the Holy Spirit, that it was better for us that He went away. That's a kind of an amazing thought, isn't it? So we just need to think about that. If you want a source of true joy, everybody turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Here is a source of true joy. It's built on everything we've learned about, that we know the Father, we are abiding in Christ, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are eternally secure. It brings all of it together. Romans 8, 38 says this, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing," that covers the whole gamut there, "shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is nothing. When we come to Jesus Christ, when God saves us, there is nothing that can take us out of His hand. Jesus said, nobody can take them out of my Father's hand. You want to talk about security? I don't know what your security system is. I don't know how big your dog is. I don't know how big your gun might be. But here's one thing I know. Nothing of that is as secure as being in Jesus' hand. And that should be a source of joy. Now, let me ask you this. Every single thing that Paul just wrote about can be a problem. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, or any other created thing. Nothing that happens to you, no circumstance you face, no problem you face, no human person you face, no angelic or demonic power that you face, can take you out of the love of God. That should be the source of joy. You know when this world ends where you're going to be. You know when your life ends where you're going to be. Nobody can take that from you. Right? And that should be our true joy. So when you looked at this joyful announcement that was made to the shepherds that day, is this great joy or what? It's great joy. It's not just that's okay. You know, the word joy actually means, and it's used in this way in the Old Testament, New Testament, jump up and down and raise your hands and do this. That's how joyful we can be when we think about Jesus Christ coming to earth. The first time and the second time. We have so much to look forward to. When He comes back for His church, when He comes back in the second coming, folks, we will be with Him. And we will be able to worship Him day in, day out. We don't have to worry about whether the weather's bad, whether the ice is going to close the roads to church. won't happen. That is true joy. That is a true joy, and it is offered to all people. But, like a Christmas gift, which we'll talk about next week, we have an obligation too. We have an obligation to receive that gift. Y'all ever told anybody something you thought was good news and they just ho-hummed, passed it off? The world does that today. The world still ho-hums over Jesus Christ. The world tries to downplay who he is. Oh, he was a good teacher. Yeah, we know. He's a historical figure. Yeah, we know that. But was he God? Yes, he was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a God, not a little g God. The Word was God. He's God from the very beginning, and we need to learn to accept him as such. You cannot have true joy until you know the Jesus of the Bible, until you put your faith in the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of pop culture. No. So here's the thing. Jesus came for each and every one of us. He came for each and every one of you. Have you accepted his invitation? Do you want this kind of joy? Would you like to have this kind of joy in your life? I think we all would, right? If you don't, we need to talk. If that kind of joy doesn't sound amazing, it's a joy you can't lose ever, even in death, we need to chat. But if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've never said to him, yes, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe you came, you died for my sins, and that God raised you from the dead. If you've never made that profession, then you cannot have true joy. You can be happy, but you cannot have this true joy. If you want that true joy, I want you to think about it today. God's pushing on you to put your faith in him. If you're a child of God already, sometimes we lose sight, don't we? We get focused on the circumstances, just like Peter walking on that water, looking at the wind. We get focused on our circumstances. Credit card bills are coming. Gosh, what are we going to cook? You know, what's going to happen? All those issues we have, we need to forget those. We need to focus on what is important about Jesus Christ. I wore this tie today. It says, the magic of Christmas is not in the presence, but in his presence. That's the key to Christmas. He came to live for us. He came to die for us. He came to offer himself for you. If you've not accepted him, I pray that you do that this morning. If you have, I pray that you just go back to that well. You know you have the assurance that God gave you. He intended for you to know that you are eternally secure. John said, these things that I've written to you so that you may believe, you may know. And that word means perfectly know that you have eternal life. No doubts. So when somebody asks you today, are you going to heaven? Most people say, well, I hope so. Wrong answer. It's yes, I am. Well, you're kind of arrogant on that, aren't you? Nope. Because God told me. Just be honest, right? And be proud of God. So if God's calling for a response today, I pray that you make it. I pray you go out of here today, that you take this message, you take joy, you take hope, you take peace, and you share it with other people. The world does not know this. The world thinks peace is just, hey, we're not in a battle right now. That's not what it is. The world thinks hope is, oh gosh, I hope that I get this for Christmas. No. And the world thinks joy is, I'm happy today. I'm sad tomorrow, but I'm happy today. That's not joy. Let's pray. Father God, you gave us true hope. You gave us true peace. You gave us true joy when you gave us your Son. Father, I just pray that if there's a heart here today that you're calling to respond, to put their faith in you for the first time, Lord, or just to say, Lord, I need help. I need to be faithful. I need to remain faithful. Help me to abide in you. Help me to be stronger. Father, your word will do that. We know this. I just pray that you strengthen every heart here today, that you increase every person's knowledge and understanding of your will so that they may walk worthy of you. Father, I just pray that we worship you truly today in spirit and in truth, that we understand what an awesome sacrifice you made, to come down from heaven, to be born in a food trough, to live a life of poverty and struggle as a carpenter, and then to give yourself voluntarily for us after being spit on, mocked, scorned, all those things that people did. Father, we can only say thank you. That's all we can do. We can only say praise God for what you did. Father, have your way today. Whatever response you're calling for, I hope that people make it. Father, I pray that you move in our hearts and our minds, and you let us truly appreciate the importance and the love that you showed by sending your Son all those years ago. And this we pray in his name. Amen.